Okay, this coming Erev Shabbos, we are going to usher in Shabbos, Parshas Miketz. This is one of those unique years where Parshas Miketz does not fall out on Hanukkah, one of those really strange anomalies, and we'll address that towards the end of our conversation. We begin, of course, with the beginning of Parshas Miketz, Vayi Miketz Shnasayim Yamim. It was after 2 years, and Rashi had explained that the delay of Yosef's release from prison was 2 years, because he placed his trust in the Sarah Mashkim. He says to the Sarah Mashkim, Kim Zechartani Yitcha. Now, Rav Shachter Shalita asked how this was possible if the dreams only seemed to happen 2 years later. How could you say it was a punishment if the way that Yosef got out was totally based on the fact that there was a dream at a certain point in time? So Rav Shachter answered that the Medrash explains that Paro had the same dream for 2 years before the Sarah Mashkim got involved. The fact that Paro delayed so long and didn't remember Yosef, interpreted the dreams, all of that was the Onesh Min HaShemayim. That's what the Torah wants us to realize. Sometimes you hear certain situations, and that's how things move on. And the Torah tells us, Vayi Baboker Bati Poim Rucho. Finally, it was time for Yosef to be delivered. And in the morning, Paro was distressed after having the dream, I guess, again. The late great Rosh Hashiva Panovich Rav David Parvarsky Zecher Tzadik Livracha contrasted Yosef to Paro. Paro is all out of sorts and he inspires chaos, but Yosef continued to proceed in a measured manner with Midos. We can't allow the body to reign over our actions. Sometimes we're in an uncomfortable situation, but we have to make a decision for ourselves. And what is that decision we need to remind ourselves? I'm going forward. I'm going to have a certain sense about me. I'm going to have a sense of calm. And so Yosef gets together and he interprets the dreams for Paro. And then when he's done, he declares, V'atayere Paro ish navon v'chacham. Now, Paro, I want you to seek out a wise person. Now, if Hashem had also given Yosef the dream interpretation and the advice, certainly Paro would listen to his advice. What else would he do? So Rapam Zatzal explains that Yosef was given advice for people beyond just this immediate crisis. He was telling the people not to waste good years, the times that we're young. We can always grab an amen, a daf, a something, and we need to grab it and appreciate it. If you're a Navon V'chacham, you grab not only the immediate situation, you go ahead and utilize the message of the dreams within your life, so suggests Rapam. And so Yosef is granted a new nickname by Yikra Paro Shem Yosef Tzafnas Paneach. Paro calls Yosef Tzafnas Paneach. Why does Paro change his name? And then the pasuk continues, Vayetze Yosef Al Eretz Mitzrayim. Yosef becomes Yosef. Even in the same pasuk, we see that it's Yosef. It's Yosef who goes out among the people. It seems that there's a difference between Yosef and Paro about who Yosef is. So once upon a time, we suggested in our shul that Paro sees Yosef as the unique one who reveals that which is hidden. But Yosef argues he's just the one who expands. He's Yosef. He expands the reach of Hashem's goodness within the world. He's not the originator of the Tzafnas Paneach. He is just a vehicle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is a fundamental difference between a Baal Gaiva and somebody of Yosef. Hence, Yosef is somebody for whom Lo Shalta Bei Ein Abisha. Yosef has children, and he calls one Menashe, Ki Nashani Elokim, because Hashem caused me to forget all my hardships. You know, Rashi notes that when Yosef sent word to his father that he was alive, he Vayaras HaGalos, that he sent wagons to remind Yaakov that this was the last sugya that they studied together. So what could you possibly mean when you say that Ki Nashani, Hashem caused me to forget? And so Ravobi Zatzal explains that forgetting in the Torah's language means forgetting even the slightest amount of Torah. If you understand that there is something, but you don't understand it, Torah helps you not only overcome animalistic urges of nature, but also the capacity to accomplish the feat is provided by the Torah. And so what the Torah is telling us over here, says Ravobi, is Hashem caused me to forget my hardships. He didn't take away the capacity. Vayaker Yosef Esachav, Yosef recognized his brothers, Vahimlo Ikiru. And Rashi notes that it was that the brothers didn't recognize Yosef because they weren't used to seeing him with a beard. Now, was this really that so simple? Do we really believe that this was the only reason they couldn't understand him and couldn't recognize him? So the late great, the Mashgiach of Karen Biamna Lishavar, the previous Mashgiach, Rav Avram Rivlin Shlita, explains that Yosef thought that he was sold because of his youthful Lashon Hara transgressions and his personal haughtiness over his brothers. But however, as he aged, symbolized by the growing of the beard, Yosef learned from his experiences, and he became more wholesome within the process. So, of course, that's why they didn't recognize him. They expected to see somebody who acted in a very different manner. Of course, Yosef gives them a hard time, and the brothers get all upset, and they said, look, he's going to come and take us as slaves, v'es chamorenu, and then he also will take our donkeys. And of course, with all of the danger that the brothers were facing, why and where did donkeys come into the conversation? Like, is that the biggest problem that you're going to have? It's just the donkeys? So Rav Reisman Shalita quotes from Rav Mordechai Druck, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who notes that in the Gemara, we meet people whose donkeys did all sorts of great things. The donkey of Rabbi Yossi of Yochras wouldn't move with money that wasn't his. Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair's donkey didn't work on Shabbos. So you would imagine, if these are just Tanaim, you can imagine how the donkeys of the Shvatim were trained. And yet, one of them walked off with the Gaviyah of Yosef. And why did donkeys do that? It must be that it's part of some evil plan. That's what the brothers were concerned about. But still notwithstanding, they come back. Vayishtu, vayishkiru, vayishkiru imo. They came and they got drunk with him. And Rashi notes that prior to this point, they hadn't had any alcohol, as they were still mourning Yosef's disappearance. Well, Yol, Apianza, Tzal explains that even when we believe that someone is a rodef who deserves what he gets, we still have to feel the pain with his suffering. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik Zatzal ran to go ahead and take care of a Bundist who regularly cursed him in Brisk when that Bundist wound up in prison. And Rav Chaim felt that forget about who he was and what he believed in. He's still a Jew, and we still have to feel, and we still have to do. And sometimes in our lives, we have to reconsider that in our mindset as well. When a Jew's in trouble, then we need to show our compassion, even if we feel to a certain degree a punishment is deserved. But to be so hard not to feel it, Hashem Yirachem Aleinu. Finally, in the Haftorah, and I mentioned earlier, this is one of the few times that we read this Haftorah, but it's a famous Haftorah. It tells the story of Shlomo HaMelech and the splitting of the baby. And, of course, the women are identified, the two women who had babies, and now only one of them alive. They are identified in the Navi, in Malachim Aleph, in Perek Gimel, as Shtayim Nashim Zonos, two Zonos. Now, the question has to be asked, why did these two women go to Shlomo HaMelech? Why didn't they go to Beis Din? They had a Taina, let them go to Beis Din. So the late great Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal explains that they already had been to Beis Din, with absolutely no success, because the general Psak of Beis Din could have and should have been called to Olam Gavar. Whoever was most strong would win. And if the women assumed that if that were to be the halacha, then each would wind up grabbing the baby. And if you do that, and each one's trying to grab the baby, they're going to tear the baby to the pieces. And so therefore, they went to Shlomo HaMelech, because a king doesn't need to only rule based on established precedent. A king has an ability to go ahead and set up his own rules. And so they went to Shlomo to have him use his sagely advice in order to be able to give direction. We constantly look for leadership in difficult times. And sometimes the greatest leadership can come to us when we use sagely advice. So may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bench us with that sagely advice and give us a perspective that will help us go and be and apply to becoming our best people until we get to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umnucha, Shabbat Shalom to all.